Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. There are seven questions a person should never ask, as the very question indicates they have a failure fantasy, a defeatist demeanor, a loser's limp, and yes, maybe even a victim mentality. When someone asks one of these questions, you know they're, well, truthfully, they're never going to maximize their potential or achieve their success or the success that they could or should be having. Any one question reveals a predisposition to failure, an undeniable sign that the person posing the question is suffering from what Zig Ziglar called stinking thinking. Here are seven questions a believer should never ask. Number one, why does this always happen to me? When something unfortunate, unplanned, or even unkind happens to you, you have a choice in how you respond. You can respond by saying, why did this happen to me? Or you could offer this prayer, or maybe one similar to it. Heavenly Father, my prayer is that the enemy gets no satisfaction from my response or anything negative that happens from this situation. But rather, that in my response, you would be glorified in every way and in everything.
I like it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
See, there are people watching how you respond in every situation. And your response can have the effect of instilling and building faith in them or not. When something doesn't go the way you had planned or expected, take great comfort in and gain strength through Romans 8:28 in the Classic Amplified. We are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things, work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. One more thing, and this is very important. We have no right to ask when sorrow comes, why did this happen to me? Unless we ask that same question for every moment of happiness that comes our way. To ask why something unfortunate happens to you without asking why something good happens to you, in my opinion, or maybe a higher opinion, demonstrates a lack of character. Think about it.
Number two, why can't I catch a break? If you've ever thought or said to yourself even, why can't I catch a break? Stop it. Change your focus. Instead of thinking about the job or the bonus or the raise or the date or the appointment or the sale or the offer you didn't get, make a list of the infinite possibilities that are in front of you. Create a new confession. Say something like this: Heavenly Father, I rejoice that I was made in your image and after your likeness. I'm so blessed that in the world is filled with opportunities that as my Father, you want good things for my life, so I can be used by you to expand your kingdom. Thank you, Father God, that you are beginning to manifest new opportunities and possibilities for me, things that I've previously never thought of or even seen. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to see the positive in every situation and just not look on the negatives. I rejoice that your desire is for me to be successful as I move in obedience to your divine directions. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray, glory, hallelujah, and an amen. Instead of complaining about our failures or the possibility of just not catching a break, we need to start creating and asking God to help us create our own possibilities. Here's a good example. Let's just say you want a job in advertising. So you create an ad for the company you want to work for. You send it by registered mail to the CEO, CFO, the human resources manager, maybe the advertising copy. If someone tries to take credit for your idea as their own, others in the company will know it. If this doesn't work with your first choice, do it again with another company and again, for yet another company and again until it does work.
That's very good. That's a great confession, by the way. Number three, when will I ever learn? See, the real question isn't when will you ever learn, but who are you learning from? Listening to the right voice will always steer you in the right direction. The thought process that would prompt you to ask, when will I ever learn, is not one of biblical origin. It signifies a lack of confidence, a prevailing attitude of doubt, and mild despair, none of which you get from the Word of God. Candy Staton, the rhythm and blues diva, who was born again as a dynamic gospel singer, has a song entitled, When Will I? When Will I? Here's some of the lyrics. When will I ever learn? All my worry is a waste of time. When will I ever learn? Letting go brings peace of mind. When will I ever see things have a way of working out? When will I ever be free? Free from fear, free from doubt. Oh, Lord, I pray to you, give me the faith to make it through.
Wow.
That's a great song. Proverbs 1:5 in the Classic Amplified Bible. The wise also will hear an increase in learning, and the person of understanding will acquire skill and attain to sound counsel, so that he may be able to steer his course rightly. Once again, the real question is not when will you learn, but what will you learn and who you learn it from.
Number four, why do I even bother? Now, this question is one of resignation, one of throwing in the towel, one of giving up. Of if you're going to believe that you can no longer make a difference and that things will never change, my goodness. All of which are totally unscriptural, unscriptural ideas. The Word of God tells us numerous times to never give up. We say it often on Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. We go through scripture after scripture, and God said, never give up. When you feel things are going wrong, don't focus on the things. If something goes south, don't go south with it, but rather focus on the one who can change things around, beginning with your own attitude. In every situation, we can know that God is always in charge. He's going to be in control, and we can put it in his hands. And always be willing to bring the change into every situation so that he can be glorified by our actions. We've got to know that we're hearing two voices in the midst of disappointment and despair. One is, why bother? And the other one is saying, why not change exactly what you're looking for? That's why we bother to make a difference. And I love Psalm 25, verse 15. You ought to read it. I'll let you look it up.
Okay. Number five, why can't someone else do this? Why would you even consider asking that question? Let's look at some of the reasons, excuses we might have for asking that question. First, the task assigned is simple. Anyone can do it. Zechariah 4:10, New Living Translation. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin.
Hallelujah.
Second, the task assigned is too difficult. Jeremiah 32:17, Classic Amplified. Alas, Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard or too wonderful for you. Third, we don't want to do it. That's generally the one. 2 Timothy 2:21, Classic Amplified. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, within himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. Now, we could go on, but I think these scriptures eliminated this question.
Number six, what's the worst thing that could happen? That is probably the wrong question. The right question would probably be, what's the best thing that could happen? I'm not saying to minimize things that, you know, you have to look at it in the negative, but one of the worst mental and spiritual diseases a person can have, and boy, I've seen it in too many people, even Christian people, is WCS. WCS, worst case scenario. That's the first thing they say. And this disease, this dis-ease, notice disease is dis-ease, causes a person to look for the worst instead of the best. We had somebody work for us for a long time, and when you'd say, can we do this? First thing out of the mouth was, no, it can't be done. But then they'd come around and realize it can be done. So what we expect manifests. Get these next three scriptures down in your spirit, and things will start to turn around for you. Psalm 5, verse 3 in the New International Version says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Praise God. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. And Proverbs 24, verse 14 says, in the Classic Amplified, so shall you know skillful and godly wisdom to be thus in your life. If you find it, then shall there be a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation shall not be cut off. And Psalm 25:12 in the Living Bible says, where is the man who fears the Lord? God will teach him how to choose the best.
I like that.
Amen.
Number seven, what's wrong with me? Now, I want to tell you, there's one person who's always willing to point out what's wrong with you. One who's always willing to condemn you without correction, accuse you without the opportunity for repentance, deceive you to making not only unwise, but unscriptural decisions. The devil, the enemy of your destiny, is ever ready to tell you what's wrong with you. And yes, sometimes he'll use flesh and blood to help in this personal assault against you. But always remember, the battle is not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12, Living Bible. For we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. Now, here's the great news.
Hallelujah.
We defeat the devil and every demon whoever seeks to destroy your destiny. We can defeat them every single time.
Greater is he.
And it's not just something we are made up. It's what the Word of God says. So you know it's true.
Amen.
So assume the victory, the victor mentality, and move on. And make sure that you don't ask these seven questions.
Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.